The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. It's nice to see everyone. Welcome to a happy hour. And I was trying to decide, am I going to do this inner critic thing that I had been doing, you know, for quite some time before I left? And I think I will. So here we are. We're going to talk about that inner critic again. Despite there's so many different ways that we can talk about it, work with it. And I would say, especially with my retreat teaching, you know, I spend a lot of time having practice discussions with people. And I see how this inner critic really shows up in people's lives in so many different ways. And sometimes like when the mind and the body get quiet and we don't have all the distractions, then it really can, you know, this inner critic become really loud. But I want to maybe approach this topic from a little bit differently and start by talking about this idea of perfectionism. That is this idea, or maybe like even the activity of like striving for flawlessness or having these really high performance standards, you know, or maybe just standards for everything, whether they're performance standards or, and we also like with perfectionism is also like this concern, well, what is everybody else going to think if I don't do this perfectly? And of course, perfectionism and this inner critic like, go together. And I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I have this sense that part of, well, maybe let's say this, I have this hypothesis that part of the perfectionism is maybe a thing that is a way that we're trying to work with this inner critic. Maybe we have this idea that if we're perfect, then the inner critic would go away or wouldn't be loud or would just be a tiny whisper. So maybe there's a way in which this inner critic kind of fuels this perfectionism. Or we could say maybe the inner critic is one way in which perfectionism gets expressed. So however we want to think about it, these two are definitely related. But I also want to point out that there's other than, or maybe in addition to just the inner critic, when we have these ideas of perfectionism, then we tend to fragment our lives, to break it up into little pieces. This is acceptable. This is not acceptable. This is okay. That's not okay. This is good. This is bad. This is perfect. This is flawed, right? We're kind of like ending up like separating our experiences, our thoughts, the product of whatever we do, you know, this, whatever we do, our professional life, how we are doing the dishes or, you know, our domestic lives or whatever it might be, or just aspects of ourselves, kind of everything maybe gets lumped into good or bad. But there's a type of agitation that arises when we have this sense of there's parts of me, quote unquote, or things that I do that are not acceptable, that are bad, that are flawed in some kind of way. And this fragmentation, this separating and breaking ourselves into bits that are good and bad, this is a type of agitation. So I'm using this word agitation, and it might be subtle, but there's this restlessness of things like it's not quite right, partly because we're trying to hold on to whatever we think is perfect and then kind of like get rid of whatever we think that is flawed or not perfect. And just this activity of like really holding on to this and shoving this other thing away, it takes a lot of energy. And it's really has this, yeah, this sense of, it certainly isn't restful. There isn't a place where we can abide, or it's kind of this word abide is kind of an odd word, but this maybe to rest. So instead, we're holding on to what we think is perfect and trying to get rid of what isn't perfect. But maybe, but I saw this from Jack Kornfield has this idea that he talks about, I think it's in his book, Path with Heart. And he's saying that we're looking for like this perfection, this flawlessness. And it does exist, but it's not found out there in the world. It's not out there in this idea of like trying to perfect the world. Instead, it's found in the heart, all of our hearts. And it's a way that that can fold in, that can touch and care for everything. There's a way in which our hearts can hold and be with whatever is arising, whatever is our experience. And I know this to be true, that if the heart and the mind have enough nourishment and some settledness, then there's a way that even things that would be just terribly distressing, we can hold them and see the beauty in them as well as the difficulty in them, to see both. So there's this way in which this perfectionism, thinking that we have to be perfect, or that we have, whatever we do, the product of our efforts has to be perfect. And what Jack Kornfield is pointing to is, you know, it's that type of perfection doesn't exist. But there is this purity, and we could even call it a perfection, that where the heart and the mind can fold in whatever is happening. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that things, it's not repressing or denying all the difficulties. It's stopping the idea that we have to hold on to what's perfect and get rid of what's uncomfortable, instead of just kind of holding it all, holding it all. So perfectionism and this inner critic, they go together. And part of the way of working with it is to just allowing the heart to include everything, everything in its warmth and in its care. And then maybe I'll end this by saying, you know, this is a, there's a, maybe a risk to give a talk like this that's just a few minutes long, because there's going to be a lot of protests. Like, Diana, what are you talking about? There are so many things out there in the world that need stuff to be done. There's injustice, oppression. There's all kinds of terrible stuff out there. And I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying we can hold it in our hearts. And so it still is, all the ugliness and difficulties are still there. But if we hold it in our hearts, then there's a way we can work with it and be with it in a way that is born out of care, as opposed to born out of this type of hatred. Like, I got to get rid of this thing. Instead, it's because I care. I care about myself. I care about the world. That's a really different stance. Very different, right? The types of things that we do based on care are so different than things we do out of trying to shove things away. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do a little bit of practice. I'm trying to remember, like, wow, it's been weeks since I've been here. Like, how do we do this? And so we'll start with a little bit of mindfulness. Just feeling into the posture, feeling into the body. And just noticing what's obvious. Most likely that'll be that pressure against the body where you're sitting. Maybe you can feel that the hands are touching. Maybe opening up a little bit to sounds. This idea of holding things in our hearts, holding them in our minds, sounds. Sometimes we want to label them as distractions or problems. Great practice just to notice, okay, here's sounds. I can still meditate, even if there are sounds that I wish weren't there. And then tuning in to the sensations of breathing. And feeling the in-breaths and the out-breaths. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being. Recently, I saw a YouTube video of these lambs that were jumping around. It's so cute. Then somebody had made like little pajamas for them. It's a little bit ridiculous, but it was adorable. Made my heart smile when I saw these little lambs. So for you, it may be something silly, like lambs and jammies. Maybe it's somebody in your life. Maybe it's a pet. Whomever it is, somebody for which the heart just smiles. And you bring this being to mind. Connecting with this lovable being. And then to support the connection, you can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can be helpful to check in with the body and see if there's a sense of warmth or openness or spaciousness connected with this loving kindness for the lovable being. It's perfectly fine if it's not there, but if it is, allow it to be a support. Allow it to be nourishment for this loving kindness. And then to extend this loving kindness to include yourself. I think it's important to always include ourselves when we do loving kindness practice. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. What is it like to put down, even just for now, these ideas that we have to be perfect, and instead just hold in our hearts ourselves? Can we rest in that? And then to do some practice with the inner critic, bring to mind a minor difficulty, something that's not perfect. On a scale of 1 to 10, something that's about a 2 or a 3. Noticing the uncomfortableness associated with this. Here are some phrases we can use. No need to use all of them. I'll be offering a few. Maybe only one of them feels relevant. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Maybe we speak directly to this inner critic. I know you are trying to help, but that's not helpful. The way we criticize ourselves, or the way that we fragment our lives into what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. I know you are trying to help, but that's not helpful. Right. Acknowledging, I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea of perfectionism and the inner critic, how they go together, and, you know, perfectionism, of course, gets rewarded in some kinds of ways, but it really has such a big toll on our lives and sometimes the lives around of those around us, right? It's because our perfectionism, we kind of want everything else to be perfect, and we're complaining about how other people load the dishwasher and getting really upset about it, or whatever it might be. I'm not sure where I heard it. It might have been in Jack Kornfield's book, A Path with Heart, this idea about perfectionism and to work with it in a different way. He has this expression, to acknowledge that we are not perfect. The mind is not perfect. The body is not perfect. And that's okay, right? That's what it means to be a human. And he has this expression, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. And I kind of like this. I kind of like this. And that's okay. That's the direction we're going. Okay, so now I'd like to put you into some breakout groups where we have an opportunity to talk about this idea of perfectionism and the inner critic, like how they're related and maybe the impact it has on your life when you see it showing up in your life. So you'll be in groups of three or four. And for these breakout groups, it's helpful to not say like absolutely every idea that you have about this topic, but just because, right, we all have a lot of experience this in some way or another. If we're not perfectionists and we live with somebody who is, or we had a coworker who was, or, you know, something like that. So just to say one point and then let it go to the next person. And then they say one point and let it go to the next person. And then they say one point and then let it come back around. And now you're having heard what other people have said. Maybe you have some new ideas, something that you hadn't quite thought of before, but allow yourself to be influenced by what others are saying. And as a group, you can maybe create something. Not that everybody has to think exactly the same way, but this is a way for us to maybe be open to some new ideas or some new insights or new understandings or something like that. Okay, so you'll be in the groups for 14 minutes. And if it's helpful, you can go in the order of, let's just go in alphabetical order, nothing fancy today. So alphabetical order, and here we go. Vicky, do you know that you need to click on something in order to get into that breakout room? Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have some comments or questions or something that they'd like to share? Was there like some aha moments in the breakout group, or maybe there was nice to connect with other people about this idea of perfectionism?
You know, I'd like to share that it's taken me a while to realize sometimes my sense of guilt or feeling unworthy of good things is a form of my inner critic. You don't deserve that. It's not,
Yeah, this inner critic, right, can be pernicious and show up in so many different ways, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you've seen this, right? That's maybe the first step to maybe start dismantling it. Yeah, thank you, Rain. Jesse.
Yeah, I just had a question about, I think you mentioned like fragmentation or fracturing or like different. I wonder if you could explain that again. I didn't quite catch that.
Oh, I was just talking about the ideas that we have, like this part of my life is okay and this part is not.
Oh, right.
Or my body, my thoughts, whatever it is. We just like ending up separating things into these different camps. But, you know, we're just one person, one body, one mind. So.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Diana.
I loved hearing about the idea about fragmentation I've heard these talks so many weeks before when you've been doing it, and that